All right. God bless you guys. Why don't we turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to continue this study today. Last week, we were talking about how the fruit of the Spirit is love, and Paul talks about the importance of love, how that fruit of the Spirit is even more important than the gifts of the Spirit, because without love, you have nothing. Well, today, we're going to continue in Corinthians 13 here with a practical description of God's agape love. And it really is a good guide and gauge for our lives. How do we practice and live in this love? What does it look like? How do we act on it? And so we're going to pick up in verse 4 of Corinthians 13. It says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails." So I'm going to break this down into three parts, basically. First, what love is. Then we have 8 items of what love is not. And then what love does. And you might notice, so the first two things here on this list are what love is. It is long-suffering or patient and kind. And these are action words, by the way, not ethereal concepts. You notice it doesn't talk about how love feels. It talks about how it is seen in action. Because agape love is always demonstrated in action. Remember last week we talked about how God the Father, Romans 5, it says that God's love for us is demonstrated in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's demonstrated in action. So first of all, love suffers long. It means it's patient. It endures with other people's flaws, those things that might annoy or even hurt you at times. If you think about it, this is God's love, just as he is long-suffering towards us. If we're receiving that, is that heart of God shown in you and how you treat other people? Are you patient with other people? Something we got to really pray about and consider. The second one is love is kind. By the way, aren't you so glad God is kind? I was thinking about it. What if God wasn't kind? What if God was almighty but merciless and just wanted to enslave us? We couldn't do anything about it. I'm just so grateful that God is not like that. God is so kind. He's so nice and kind to us. And his word says that it's that kindness of the Father that leads us towards repentance. It draws us towards him. I know it draws my heart towards him. And so if we are receiving that love and his love is in us, then that kindness towards other people is going to be shown in us. So next we have 8 things that love is not. The first one is love does not envy. Envy is basically, you know, like resenting someone, for example, who's been promoted or blessed above you. You know, are you hateful or resentful towards that person, or are you happy for them and rejoice in the fact that they're blessed? If you think it's a small sin, just think about Cain. when he envied his brother Abel, for example, and what happened there. Or maybe Joseph's brothers who envied Joseph, and so they enslaved him and sold him off. Of course, Joseph's a picture of Jesus, who the Pharisees envied and hung him on a cross. So love, God's agape love, does not envy. It makes us not envious of other people. The next one is love does not parade itself. Basically, it means it doesn't boast or brag or self-promote. You know, if you feel the need to, that you have to receive credit or praise for everything you do, or you have, feel this need to, maybe on social media, make yourself look so good and perfect. You know, when God's agape love, like I talked about last week, when we're immersed in it and we're just marinating in God's presence and his love, and it's affecting us, you really lose the need to feel that way, that you don't feel like you need to do that. It's freeing. Praise God. Love is not puffed up, basically arrogant, a swelled head. Love does not behave rudely. Basically, it's not a jerk, you know. It's good to ask, are you rude to people or are you kind to people? I was thinking how it's interesting how, you know, some people, they can be really kind to those that are close to them, their close friends and family, and yet to strangers can be so rude, like a server at a restaurant or something like that. Other people, they can be really nice and kind to strangers and even friends, and yet so rude and jerky to their maybe brothers or sisters or those that are close to him. God's love is not rude at all to anyone, but rather is the opposite, which is kind and loving. Love does not seek its own. Basically, the core of agape love, it's not self-centered, it's others-centered. I like Philippians 2:4 that says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests. Doesn't mean you don't have your own interests. But he doesn't look out only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have in you the mind of Christ. So basically, this kind of thinking and being like Jesus, it's being like Jesus in its most basic form. Next, love is not provoked, or another translation, I would say easily offended. It's really both. Good to ask yourself, are you a sensitive, oversensitive type of person? Do you get easily offended? If so, what really needs to change isn't other people, it's you. It's your heart. It's something that God wants to grow you in his agape love. Or do you get provoked? Kind of easy to get provoked in a sense. But are you the type of person that, well, I did this because she provoked me, or oh, he said that to me and so I did this, or they cut me off, whatever. It's very tempting to get provoked, but it's still wrong. It's still not an excuse for sin. It's not love. Love is not rude. Love is not easily provoked. So maybe think about Moses. If you remember in Numbers 20, it says that the children of Israel provoked Moses. He let himself be provoked. And so instead of speaking to the rock of Horeb like God told him to. He struck it. And if there's anything that story tells us is that there are still consequences for sin, whether you were provoked or not. So love is not provoked or easily offended. The seventh thing of the what love isn't list is love thinks no evil. Literally, it means it does not store up a memory or a record of wrongs received. In fact, I think one of the translations of the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. So it's a good thing to ask. Are you a record keeper? A record of people's wrongs? If you are, you might wonder why your relationships are suffering or why your marriage is so bad. I tell you what, it's probably the number one marriage killer is keeping a record of wrongs. That's the opposite of God's agape love, who throws our sins into the sea and remembers them no more. A record of wrongs is the same as when someone says, oh, there's a wedge driven between us, or there's a wall. Paul, in another place in the word, would call it a foothold of Satan. It's the same thing. Get rid of it. Stop keeping records of wrongs on anybody. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Agape love is, it's a pure love. It can't live with lies and deception or evil. It also, this kind of selfless love, it means that it does not lead the one it loves into iniquity. I've had people tell me things like, oh, but I'm doing this, or I did this because he loves me. No, he doesn't. If it's something that you're being led into that is against God's truth, if it's sin, he doesn't love you. Maybe it's eros, but it's not agape, because he loves himself. Beware of that. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Next, we have four more things that love does on the positive side. Verse 7, it says, love bears all things, love believes all things, it hopes all things, and endures all things. So basically, it's strong, it's believing, it's hopeful, and it's enduring, and it's faithful. I'll be honest, sometimes I kind of wish that Paul had not used the phrase all things, because I can bear some things, I can believe some things, I can hope a lot of things, and I can endure a lot of things, but it's the all things where God is calling us into his love, into a deeper, a stronger, more enduring agape love, that we're in a deeper love, first of all with him, but also a more faithful, strong, enduring love for one another, for our families, but also for a perishing world, which is why we're here. So let's look at these real quick. First, love bears all things. The word bears can be translated as cover or covers all things. It's like 1 Peter 4:8 that says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. So it's along that idea that love covers a multitude of sins. I heard once how a pearl is made inside of, you know, an oyster. It's interesting, it starts with a hurtful, harmful even particle that manages to get into the oyster's shell, and it causes pain, it irritates, but the oyster can't eject it. And so what it does is it secretes, it covers this particle with a precious substance that actually is drawn from its own life. And as it covers this thing layer by layer, it eventually becomes this beautiful and treasured pearl. And I was thinking that we could do the same thing with people who annoy us or hurt us, have flaws that drive us crazy. And instead of ejecting them, is bear with them in patience and long-suffering and forgiveness, and just cover them with layers and layers of love until God turns them into something that is just so treasured and precious to us. Love covers a multitude of sin. If you want a practical illustration, remember when Noah and his sons, right? It was after the flood. Noah had planted a vineyard, and at one point he just got flat out drunk. He was laying nakedly, embarrassingly in his tent, and his son Ham comes along and sees what's going on. And so the first thing he does is he goes to his brothers, Shem and Japheth, saying, "You got to see this, come look." And he brings them, but when Shem and Japheth get to the tent, it says they refuse to look upon their father's nakedness. But instead, they took a blanket, each taking a side, and they walked in backwards, not looking at their father, and they covered him with this blanket, covered his shame, and went out. That is love, covering shame, covering a multitude of sin. And in the end, Shem and Japheth were blessed. Their legacies were incredibly blessed. But Ham, his legacy was actually in trouble and cursed. And so love covers a multitude of sins. It covers all things. Next, love believes all things. What that means is not just a naive believing of everything. The idea is it doesn't believe bad reports or gossip about those that it loves, but rather chooses to believe the best. Gossip is the absolute, and slander, the absolute antithesis of God's agape love. It believes all things and it hopes all things. Kind of the opposite of envy. It hopes the best for that person. But it also has this idea of just generally, a person who has this love generally has an optimism in the Lord about their lives, relationships, about the future. It's not a pessimist that's driven by fear. In Russia, I had a dear Russian friend who told me a joke. It was pretty funny. He said, Russian optimism. The pessimist says, it's so terrible. Things can't get any worse. And the optimist says, it can. But this is not that. So it's true optimism. The fourth thing, love endures all things. Talk about important. This is important because many of us, we can bear all things and believe all things and hope all things for a while. But the beauty of agape love is it's able to keep on bearing with others. It's able to keep on, to continue believing, to keep on hoping. It doesn't give up. And that's why it's followed by love endures all things. Love never fails. So ultimately, if you look at these are the attributes of the Father. They're the attributes of Jesus himself. They're the fruit of the Spirit. But they're also, for us, in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit that's produced by walking in the Spirit. What we've been talking about the last few weeks. It's produced as we walk in him, as we grow in Christ. And so these attributes are things that we are to actually practice and grow in. And so I'd like to encourage you to do something. And just for self-growth and, you know, it's a good test and gauge. But maybe when you go through this list, instead of the word love, try to put your own name in there. And just see how the Spirit leads and kind of what your heart says, like true or false. Or maybe just the word I suffer long. I am kind and see how it feels. If I put my own name in there, for example, I would say Joel is patient. And I would honestly just listen. Is that true or not? Joel is kind. Joel does not envy. True or false? Joel does not parade himself. Is it getting hot in here? Is the heat? Joel is not puffed up. Joel does not behave rudely. Joel does not seek his own. Joel is not provoked. Joel thinks no evil. Joel does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You know, does Joel bear all things with all people? Does Joel believe the best all things in people? Does Joel hope all things? Does Joel endure all things? Joel never fails. So it's a good test. And maybe as you prayerfully go through that, you can commit to some of these things. Maybe you just say, I will. Just go through it and say, you know, Lord, help me to be patient. I will be patient. I will be kind with people. I'm determined in your Spirit. I will not envy. I'm not going to seek my own. I will not be provoked. I will think no evil, but I'm going to rejoice, not in iniquity, but I will rejoice in the truth and seek it. Lord, help me. I want to bear all things. I will believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Lord, help me to not fail and to be faithful. And commit to the Lord in the Spirit. Lord, I want to walk in your Spirit. These are the things. These are my goals. As I've said before, if you make goals, these are great goals. By the way, this is the greatest list of self-help and practical things. This is better than any book, right? This is the Scripture, and this is God's heart, God's character, God's love, and the best of what he has for you, your life, my life. If I make these my goals, even my goal for today, I'm going to endure all things. Today, I'm not going to parade myself. Today, I'm going to be kind. When you have a goal, like, say if you're target shooting and you have your target and you've got bullseye, which is 100, and you got the next line out, which is 80 and 60 and 40. If you're aiming at the bullseye, man, you may just nail it. If you're aiming at it, maybe you don't quite nail it. You miss a little bit. Well, you still got 80, or you still got 60 or 40. But I tell you what, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. But just aim at these things. Again, we are not perfect. A little later in this chapter, it talks about how right now we just see these things as in a mirror dim, but one day we're going to be face to face with the Lord. We're going to be changed. It's going to be wonderful. But for now, we are to grow in these things. In fact, in chapter 14, verse 1, Paul, right after this, he says, follow the way of love, or pursue love. It's all a part of seek Jesus, right? Walk in the Spirit, seek the Lord, keep your eyes on him, and marinate in his love for you. Think about how much Jesus has extended his very agape love towards you, where God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. That God demonstrated his love, and while yet we were enemies and sinners, Christ died for us. Think about how much God loves you. Jesus loves you right now. And that'll transform you, because the real name that you can put in Corinthians 13 is Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Isn't he kind towards you and patient? Jesus doesn't envy. Jesus does not parade himself. He's not puffed up. He does not behave rudely. Jesus did not and does not seek his own. Jesus is not provoked. Jesus thinks no evil. Jesus does not rejoice in iniquity, but Jesus rejoices in the truth. Jesus, towards you, bears all things, covers all things. Praise God. He believes all things because he knows your end as well as the beginning. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. He hopes all things. Jesus endures all things. Jesus never fails. And his love for you never, ever will fail. He is faithful forever to you.